Daniel Matt is one of the foremost scholars on Jewish mysticism and the Kabbalah. One day, after a lecture, a student told him that it sounded a lot like the Big Bang Theory. Intrigued, he started doing some research in astrophysics and cosmology, and he was shocked at what he found. Daniel Matt's the author of God and the Big Bang. He told Steve Paulson that the Big Bang Theory is the creation myth of science.
The Big Bang is technically a theory, but a well-supported theory. On the other hand, when I say myth, I don't mean something that's not true. By myth, I really mean a narrative that makes sense of our life, a narrative that we tell and retell in order to find our place in the universe. So I think a myth could be, you know, factually accurate or inaccurate. In this case, I think the Big Bang, you know, may be the first accurate creation story that we've ever had.
Well, I have to say, to me at least, the Big Bang defies common sense. I mean, the idea that that all the matter and energy that's now in the universe was at one point somehow or at one time compressed into a tiny point that was far smaller than a single proton. I mean, it's hard to imagine this point of almost infinite density. And I mean, it's almost a leap of faith, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly boggles the mind. And, you know, as a number of physicists have said, if you think you understand this or if you think you understand quantum mechanics, then you haven't gotten it. So it's almost something that's meant to confuse you or to startle you. And that, in a sense, is, you know, one of the parallels between cosmology and mysticism, because mysticism is also often counterintuitive. And mysticism claims that the boundaries that we usually accept between things aren't final, aren't absolute. So that the notion of a mystical oneness is as mind-boggling as this scientific oneness. You know, you could say that the basic claim of mysticism, that all is one, that is also in some ways a scientific fact, by which I mean, you know, we're made of the same stuff as all of creation. So everything in the universe is composed, or everything in the world we know at least, is composed of the same primordial elements, that interplay of matter and energy. So in that sense, there's a oneness you can speak about in scientific terms and a oneness you can speak about in mystical terms. Both of them are mind-boggling, but scientists would say, and mystics, I think, would agree, that you shouldn't be fooled by the outer surface appearance. It seems that things are separate. It seems that there are sharp boundaries between water and rocks. But really, all things in the world, certainly all material objects, if you analyze them, if you break them down, they're composed of the same primordial elements.
Now, we've been talking about the Big Bang, and it's worth pointing out that the Big Bang doesn't actually explain the very first moment of creation. I mean, as far as scientists can determine, it only explains what happened after something like 1/1,000,000th of the first second after the absolute beginning.
Right. I think technically it's 10 to the minus 43 second after the beginning. So it's a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second, something like that. So an accurate cosmologist would say that we don't know what preceded the Big Bang. The Big Bang is not the ultimate beginning. The Big Bang is as far back as we can trace right now. And I think what's refreshing about most scientists is that they're willing to admit what they don't know. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to learn from science, to strive to understand as much as we can and to admit when we don't know, not to claim that we know everything. Sometimes people in the religious camp, you know, want a finality or an absolute knowledge, and a scientist sometimes can be more humble than that. But there still is room for mystery in science, at least for the unknown. There's a respect for the unknown.
Also, there's some profound philosophical questions. Was the Big Bang an event without a cause? And I don't know if that's a scientific question or if that's a metaphysical question.
Yeah, there are cosmologists who claim that, you know, many cosmologists, but most cosmologists claim that you don't need someone or something to start it off. It's something that emerged out of the vacuum. This notion of a vacuum is very striking, an interesting parallel between science and mysticism there too, because the vacuum that cosmologists speak about is not entirely empty. You could say it's a vacuum that is filled with potential. It's pregnant with potential. One of the most attractive paradoxes in my mind in all of mysticism is referring to God as nothing or no thing. I think it is better to pronounce it in this case no thingness. God, you might say, is the energy that animates all things, but God is not to be identified with any one object or thing.
Now, we've been talking about science and particularly the cosmology of the Big Bang, and I know there are a lot of religiously minded people who are really looking into quantum physics and seem to find solace or some very exciting possibilities there when the uncertainty principle in quantum physics, mm-hmm. that it's impossible to determine the precise location and velocity of subatomic particles. I mean, all we can talk about is probability. Do you find these to be of spiritual importance, these insights of quantum physics?
Certainly so. A quantum physicist would say, you know, don't be fooled by the outer layer of things. This table seems solid, but underneath, there's a teeming cascade of energy. There's energy circulating constantly in what we call solid matter. So the fact that solid matter is composed of energy, I think that gives us a way to understand the relationship between God and the world. God is also animating all of existence. So it's really a way to reimagine God as that which animates all of existence.
Do you think human beings need myths to live by? I mean, is this where we get our sense of purpose, and not to mention our stories of creation? Are those essentially mythic stories?
I think we need some way to make sense of the universe, you know, some way to wrap our mind around the universe. And telling a story about how the world began is one of the oldest ways to do this. You know, telling a story about how we came to be and what our purpose is here, it's very hard for people to live without meaning. Now, that meaning doesn't have to be something imposed from the outside. It can be something that you create. As an existentialist, you know, would say, you create your own meaning. But without some meaningfulness, without some purpose and goal, it's very hard to maintain one's equilibrium or one's sanity.
Can science itself give us those myths, give us the meaning?
I'm not sure science can give the meaning, but I think we can learn from science and religion both. In other words, my attitude is that each of those two, science and religion, is one piece of the puzzle, and we should be humble enough to learn from both. You know, many people plant themselves in one camp, claiming, you know, I'm rational or I'm a believer, and they feel threatened or they feel opposed to the other approach. A true believer who doesn't want to be bothered with the theory of evolution, or a totally rational scientist who thinks that religion is total superstition. Those are the extremes. And you find people in those extremes or somewhere near those extremes. But I think the point is that these are two strategies that humanity has created, the scientific approach and the religious approach, and we should respect the two. I'm not saying the two should be fully equated. I don't think they should. I think that's far too simplistic an approach. But I think we can learn from both of them and enrich ourselves by understanding the insights that each has to offer.
Daniel Matt is the author of God and the Big Bang, Discovering Harmony Between Science and Spirituality. Steve Paulson spoke with him.